Parliament. Wayne, are you turned on?
I am now. Right, okay. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at Philemon. But before we do that, the topic that was running through my head this morning was this sense of a changed life changes lives. So if you forget everything that I look like I'm doing the washing up here, don't I? If you forget everything else I say this morning, try and remember that. A changed life changes lives. Perhaps you'd like to repeat that after me so you don't forget it. Bit of rote there. A changed life changes lives. Because that's really key to the message of Philemon. And Paul says this, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Aphia, our sister, and to a guy who looks like he runs a fish and chip shop, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a good and full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because of you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold in order to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, Paul, as an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who has become my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention what you owe me your very self. I do not wish, brother, that I may have... Sorry, a small print in this one. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends his greetings, as so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow worker, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Interesting little letter there. I remember this little phrase of a changed life changes lives. Now, I wonder if you've read a good book lately, apart from the Bible. Perhaps you've read a really good love story recently and you've been really engrossed in it. Maybe you've seen a good film lately and it's been a wonderful piece of storytelling. I remember when I was 13, I used to do some odd jobs for my gran. Used to do some shopping for her sometimes. And sometimes she would ask me to go to the library and get her some books, which was absolutely fine. And she would have this list of books that she would ask me to get for her, and I would take the list and pick them off and then go to the librarian. In those days, they stamped them and took the ticket out and this kind of stuff. And I always got a really weird look from the librarian. And one day, I looked behind me, and it was my English teacher, because I could hear her laughing. And she said, "No wonder you've got problems with your English, reading that kind of stuff." You see, my gran loved Mills and Boone books. And so here's my English teacher looking over, and I said, "They're not for me." She goes, "It's right, you don't have to admit anything." And sometimes we think of a love story in the sense of it being a little bit soppy and a little bit over the top. How does a runaway slave fit into the Bible? Why is there a story? Why is there a letter written about a runaway slave? It wouldn't make a very good blockbuster film, would it, for Hollywood? The story of a runaway slave. I mean, who's going to watch that? Who's going to read that? But as you look about the book of Philemon, or Paul's letter to Philemon, you actually realise this is actually one of the greatest love stories that's ever been told. And let me explain that. If you start from Genesis and you go all the way through Revelation, you'll see that man is always making a mess of things, and God is always seeking to put it right. Whether it's in the Garden of Eden or all the way through the Gospels, there is this sense that God's love is continually being poured out for people. Indeed, right in the beginning of Genesis, as soon as Adam and Eve make a mess of things, God says to Adam, "Where are you?" And so right in the end of the Bible, right in the book of Revelation, it says, "They shall see his face." There's all sorts of things that we can compare Philemon to. And you'll see where I'm going with this as we go along. You could think of Joseph as he was sold into slavery. And he said to his brothers when they turned up, "You intended this for harm, but God intended this for good." If you know the book of Hosea in the Old Testament and how Hosea's wife, Gomer, was a prostitute, and yet Gomer still loved her. We could think of the prodigal son and the love of the father as he was waiting for his son to come back. We could think of the Good Samaritan, how he looked after and shared a sense of human love and respect for the person who was injured, and said, you know, as he drops him off to the innkeeper, "If there is anything else for me to pay, I will pay it." And as you look through the book of Philemon, you actually see the gospel being shared out through this. There are three men in this story, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful stories I've read in recent times. You have Paul, and he boasts that he was once a top Pharisee, and he used to try and keep the Bible 100%. He was very, very well educated, and then he met Christ. And then you have Philemon, who Paul is writing to. He's obviously quite a wealthy chap because he has a slave and possibly has the church meeting in his house, so he must have quite a big house. And then you have somebody called Onesimus, who was Philemon's slave. What's a slave worth? Somebody who is worth very little in New Testament times. In fact, one commentator of New Testament times said a slave was a tool with a voice. So you can imagine, here I'm at home with my Black & Decker, and it goes wrong, and I just chuck it out, and I think, time to get a new one. That was the same kind of attitude to people who owned slaves. And when a slave died, many people said, "Oh, I've lost my best tool." So here's a slave who's run off. There were different kinds of slaves in the Roman Empire. You had slaves who worked in mines. You had agricultural slaves. You had urban and domestic slaves. Some of them were very, very well educated. And my guess is that Onesimus is an urban or a domestic slave. But how do we cope with this? How do we bring this to a sense of togetherness as we look at changed lives, change lives? We could think of Paul's life, how he has been changed by the gospel. We could look at Philemon's life, how he has come under Christ by Paul. And now we see this runaway slave who has run away from his master and somehow got to Rome, spent all his master's money that he'd stolen, and bumped into Paul and got converted. How do we bring this together? How is Philemon's church going to deal with Paul sending back a slave who has stolen from the church? In fact, in the first century, if a slave stole from somebody, then they would be put to death. So you begin to see some of the tensions that are going on here. Remember some of the parallels of the Bible. We could have the Good Samaritan, and how the Samaritan says, "I'll pay back whatever's needed." And Paul says of Onesimus to Philemon, "Whatever he's stolen from you, I will pay back." A runaway slave that deserves to be put to death. And yet a changed life changes lives. You see, sometimes we look at our own lives and we don't think they add up to very much. I sometimes look in the mirror and I think, "Well, Lord, what has my life become?" I wonder what Paul would think as he looked in his proverbial mirror, if you like, and thought to himself, "Well, Lord, what has my life become? I used to persecute your church. I used to do some really dreadful things." I wonder what Philemon would think as he looked in the proverbial mirror and wondered what his life came to. But how less so would Onesimus, a runaway slave, look into the mirror and think, "What has my life come to?" And yet what we begin to see within this is that a changed life changes lives. Because Paul's life was changed, Philemon's life was changed. Because Philemon's life was changed, a runaway slave who had no hope of redemption was about to be slave changed. Just think about how your life has been changed by the gospel. because your life has the power to change other people's lives because of what Christ has done in your life. So there are a couple of things I want us to think about, some parallels between these three men that actually bring them together. The first thing is faith in Christ. And Philemon certainly has plenty of it. Verse 5, it says, because of your love and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. And the word in the Greek for faith means to be totally sold out. So Paul is totally sold out for God. Philemon is totally sold out for God. But what about this runaway slave? Paul says, I'm going to send him back not just as a slave, but as a brother. There's a sense where this slave has also been sold out. Indeed, Paul says, he's very useful to me. What once used to be useless, it's interesting that the name Onesimus actually means useful. So Paul admits, you know, this slave used to be totally useless to you. But since he's met Christ and he's got his life sorted out, I'm going to send somebody back who is useful to you. How has your faith changed your life? What were you like before you met Jesus? How has that changed your life and the people around you? But the common denominator between all these three men is this sense that they now have faith in Christ. Whether they are an apostle, whether they're wealthy enough to have a church meeting in their home, or whether they're a slave. The second thing that we see in this letter is a sense of forgiveness. When you look from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about forgiveness. The reason why we have problems in the world isn't necessarily to do with wealth, and a lot of people blame it on God. It's actually forgiveness. People can't get on with each other. When you look in Northern Ireland, it was all this to do with forgiveness or the lack of forgiveness. When you look at all the tribal conflicts in Africa and the rest of the world, it's always to do with the fact that people can't get on with each other. And so there's a sense here with Philemon that Paul's encouraging him, as I sent him back to you as a brother in Christ, forgive him. It's interesting as we look through the parallels in Scripture, how the prodigal son, how his father forgave him. And Onesimus is almost like the prodigal son returning back to his master. What did Jesus say when he was being nailed to the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And part of the issue that Philemon's church had to get to grips with was this whole sense, okay, we share a common faith in Christ, but also that must motivate us into a sense of forgiveness. It would have to be a forgiving church. And now they're going to have to be tested to the limit, if you like. Can you imagine what it was like for this church to hear on the grapevine via Paul that Onesimus, the runaway slave who had stolen from his master, was now going to come back and join the church? I wonder what they thought. See, this is why this letter is here. It's a reference. It's saying, what was useless to you, I return as useful. And I will put it to you this morning, as I put it to myself, that before I met Christ, I was like a runaway slave. I was useless until I met Christ. A changed life changes life. And you can see how Paul's life has been changed by the gospel in order that Philemon gets converted under Paul. And now Philemon has his changed life has an opportunity to change somebody else's life. So verse 11, it says, he who was formerly useless to you is now useful. Verse 18, if he has wronged you in any way, or if he owes you anything, charge it to my account. Now remember that a slave has absolutely no rights. And what Paul is saying is, I will back up anything that he has done wrong. What kind of grace, what kind of forgiveness is that? Because Paul knows full well that this is an offensive slave. And yet he has come to Christ and got himself sorted out. Think of the people who have hurt you in the past. Maybe right now there are people who have done things against you. And yet here is your life, a changed life in Christ, as you've come to the cross to express something of the forgiveness that Christ said as he was being nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. This is the heart of the gospel. It's all about forgiveness. And when Jesus said, this is my kingdom come upon earth, it wasn't this kind of secular kingdom where the Jews were going to rid the Romans and get back to some sort of national identity. It was far more important than that. It was about forgiveness. And forgiveness was what Philemon was going to need. It's almost like the gospel according to Philemon. Unforgiveness, keep it in your heart. So Paul encourages him. And we could think about forgiveness and its costs in the Bible. Adam and Eve, we get Joseph, we get Hosea, we get the prodigal son, we get Jesus, as I said, on the cross. Forgiveness always costs those who will forgive. Philemon is a godly man. Verse 7 it says, and Paul acknowledges, he says, you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Philemon must have been a lovely man to know. Can you imagine? Here is somebody who refreshes people very, very deeply. The authorized version says, you have refreshed the bowels of the saints. And indeed, if you look into original Greek, it's splachkon, which I'm sure you wanted to know. That means bowels. It means intestines. And you sort of think, refresh the intestines of the saints? That's a little bit weird. If we were to turn the clock back 2,000 years, people wouldn't just say, you've refreshed my heart. They would say, you've refreshed my guts. I feel well. If something's wrong with you, where do you feel it? Most of the time you feel it deep down in your stomach. And Paul is saying, you've refreshed the saints deep down inside. The word refresh means, it's a military word. It's like troops who are able to have rest while they're on the march. And this is the kind of man Philemon was. I know 2 years ago when I had my bowels sorted out. Before I had my bowels sorted out, I felt weak, I was in pain, I was ill, I was deteriorating. Now that my bowels are refreshed, I stay strong and well, I put on weight, I feel refreshed and healthy. This is the kind of man that Philemon was. He was the man who brought a sense of strength and well-being and vitality. So when we think of refreshed the bowels of the saints, although it sounds a little bit odd to us, there's something quite profound about this man, that he brings a sense of healing and wholeness in his church. I wonder what it was like for the ordinary person to walk off the street and go into Philemon's church to meet with somebody who is like Philemon. And yet Paul has to write to him and says, I'm sending your worthless slave back to you. Can you imagine, if you sort of think hard over your life, think of the worst car that you've ever had. Maybe it was a Lada, maybe it was a Citroen, maybe it was a Ford. The unreliable, rusty car that you were pleased to get rid of. And if it came back and arrived on your driveway, it would be like, this is such a nightmare. I just think of the expense of having to keep it on the road and the trouble and the unreliability. This is what it was like for Philemon, to think that this thing that was this thing, because that's all they were sort of, slave, he's going to be parked back on your driveway and you've got to keep him. Here's somebody who refreshes the innermost being. His forgiveness would be put to the test. Forgive the worthless. And yet, that in essence is what the cross is all about. That you were worthless before you came to Christ. Romans 5 verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love towards us in this way. It's easy for us sometimes to look at people on the television, listen to people on the news and say, they're just getting what they deserve. And maybe they are. But the gospel is all about a changed life changes lives. And as Christ has changed your life and my life, we are here on this planet, believe it or not, to influence people and change lives. Not through any strength of our own, because Philemon couldn't do anything by himself. He knew that he needed Christ within him, which is why Paul says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he put that there right at the beginning because he knew he was going to need an awful lot of that. As soon as he started reading about Onesimus' runaway slave, he was going to need a lot of grace and a lot of peace to deal with this. The third thing is freedom. Paul had found a sense of freedom in Christ. Philemon had found a sense of freedom in Christ. But what about a slave? Is a slave to be set free so he's just equal as his master? When you read the accounts that Paul has written, he's never actually against slavery. It was the norm of the day. But what he does say is, slaves, honour your masters. Work well for your masters. But he also says, masters, treat your slaves with respect. So Onesimus can't be freed, but there's a sense that he has found a freedom in Christ. If a slave is just a tool with a voice and he comes into church, what kind of life does he have in order to enter into church life if he's got no rights? All of a sudden, within Christ, he is free to participate. Verse 15 to 17, Paul says, perhaps for this reason he is coming back to you and went away from you, that you should keep him forever. That's a really weird thing, isn't it? That you should keep him forever. That I should keep a runaway slave forever. This little phrase, that you should keep him forever, that was actually a sign of a great slave. And a master would want to keep a slave forever rather than free him at the end of time if he proved himself to be an excellent slave. So Paul's saying that you might keep him forever. How does that work out? What Paul's saying is, what I'm sending back to you is somebody who will be most excellent. See how the gospel has turned around Onesimus' life. No longer a slave, more than a slave, a brother. And then Paul says, especially to me. If you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would accept me. Galatians 3 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, for all are one in Christ. So Onesimus now shares in this same spiritual freedom that Paul and Philemon share. It's an absolutely extraordinary story. One first century historian looked on the early church and he said this: it's the only religious organization where rich and poor, male and female, slave and free, meet together on equal terms. In other words, as secular historians of the day looked upon the early church, they saw something that they didn't see anywhere else. How do people outside see us? Do they see something of that faith, that freedom that Paul, Philemon and Onesimus had that they didn't have in their own society? Joseph's brothers were given freedom. Hosea gave freedom to his wife Gomer. The Good Samaritan gave freedom. The prodigal son received freedom. Galatians 5 verse 1, it says this: it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore keep standing firm and resist the sins of the yoke of slavery. Paul could say, my life has been freed by Christ. Philemon could say, my life has been freed from the sins cursed by Christ. Onesimus could say, my life has been turned around and I have found freedom in Christ. What a testimony it was for an early church to have somebody as worthless as Onesimus to come into their congregation, so to speak, and to be esteemed as somebody who was of great worth because he had found Christ. Lastly, there's a sense of fulfillment with their lives. A changed life changes lives. Paul had a sense of fulfillment in his life. The struggle of life, of trying to do things God's way, was found in Christ. Philemon was fulfilled. And now we see Onesimus fulfilled in his life. From running away to running to God. Romans 6 verse 17 says this: thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin — it's interesting how Paul uses slavery and sin in a lot of his letters — you became obedient from the heart. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Having been freed from sin and become slaves to God, you now reap the benefit of holiness, the result of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul in Christ was heaven bound. Philemon in Christ was heaven bound. Onesimus in Christ was heaven bound. They could all say, my life is complete. It is fulfilled in him. So how do we conclude this morning? Philemon could say, well, this is actually the greatest story ever told, of a runaway slave who's come back to me more than a slave. He's come back as a brother in the Lord. And Paul, well, he just says, well, this is what the gospel is all about. But can you imagine us? We're thinking about stepping out in faith this year. Can you imagine what it's like for us sometimes when we see people who are so far away from the Lord, we think there's no hope? Can you imagine Philemon, as his slave has stolen money from him and gone away? He must have thought, that's it. Until he heard a letter from Paul saying, you know, actually he's coming back, but he's now saved. See, stepping out in faith actually takes a lot of faith to believe the impossible sometimes. When we see people who are utterly worthless, who have stolen from society, who do evils and wrong against society, but what happens when they come face to face with the gospel? How do they change? Stepping out in faith, Philemon, it was a big step of faith for him. How different did it make his church? How attractive did it make them? Faith, forgiveness, freedom, fulfillment. This is what was found at the church at Philemon's, because in Christ, a changed life changes life. That's the gospel. It's the greatest story ever told. But what about your life this morning? Is yours a changed life that changes lives? This is why the book of Philemon is there. It is not just a beautiful love story of how people find Christ, but it is also a challenge to believe that people's lives do change. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, give us the faith to see the impossible. That as we live in this world where people are so mixed up, so far away from you, so godless, where people have stolen and pilfered, maybe people have hurt us, harmed us, injured us, Give us the faith to see that changed lives can change lives, that as we represent you, people will see something of you in us. We thank you for this tiny little book of Philemon that we've just scratched the surface of this morning, how a worthless slave becomes somebody of great worth. We thank you that is also our story, that we were slaves to sin, we were worthless. And yet while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. Help our lives to be a gospel story, goodness that has been shown to us. Give us that sense of faith to step out and believe for the impossible as we pray for people who might be far away from you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing in closing. To God be the glory, great things he hath done.